Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain,
and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There is Life After Layoff. Join the conversation with our show host, Allie, and her co-host, Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal or a piece of paper and pen so that you can jot down notes as you join us in this journey this evening. Now, join me in a virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie. Allie?
Hello and welcome to the next episode of There is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elite Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And you can also find out more about Doc and her services through her website at www.elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E, psychologicalservices.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can always do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow us on Twitter. You will find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45. And so on behalf of Doc and myself and the entire There is Life After Layoff Radio team, we sincerely thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. And we are honored to have Doc on air with us tonight. So good evening, Doc, and thank you for joining me. And I am super, super excited about our special guest tonight, Ms. Sally Rainey Orr. And you know what? It's so interesting how our paths actually cross, and I'll talk more about that a little later, because, you know, I've often said that God will oftentimes lead us and guide us to the people and the resources that we need when he asks us to do something. So, and also the fact that she's a researcher, Doc, which you, I know, are excited about.
Exactly. And you're so right. He leads us to whatever we need. This is Aviation Month, so this is going to be a very excited interview and conversation. And as you stated, he never fails, and he shows up at the right time. So I think our guest tonight is going to be a joy to speak with, and we're going to get a lot of education, which I'm excited about.
Absolutely. Thank you again for being here with me. And as always, before we get started and before we welcome our special guest tonight, we take some time to make some brief announcements. But there's one very special announcement that I want to make, Doc, and I know that you'll join me in this celebration. I want to celebrate an accomplishment of my baby girl, Imani. Now, last week we actually learned from her principal that she was selected as one of the district winners of the 2013 Water Essay Contest. Now, this is a contest which is sponsored by the Metropolitan North Georgia Water Planning District. And this year actually marks the 12th year of the contest. And this is a contest which helps thousands of middle school students to think critically about water and the region's water resources. So she was selected as one of the district winners. And at this point now she actually goes on to compete. Her essay competes at the state level. So I wanted to take a moment to say congratulations to my baby girl and that we are also very proud of her. And you know what, Doc, it doesn't get any better than that.
Awesome, Amani. Congratulations.
Yes. So we're going to keep it moving. As always, we want to encourage you that if you happen to miss a particular show, you can catch up on what you may have missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website. And we've made it so easy for you to do that because we have an automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is just simply click on the particular show you want to tune into, and it will start playing for you automatically. And we are also on iTunes, so please, it is so convenient. All you have to do is upload it to your mobile device, take it with you, exercise with it, take it in your car, wherever you want to go. So please take advantage of that. And all of our past shows are actually available on iTunes now, and tonight's live show will be available about an hour or so after it airs. So please continue to tune in and take advantage of catching up. And so at this time, though, I'm going to actually turn it over to our executive producer, Mel D, so that she can share with us a very important Save the Date announcement. So it's all yours, Mel D.
Well, thank you, Allie. And, again, I want to also congratulate Amani on winning her essay because that's a huge accomplishment. And
yes,
congratulations to you, too.
Thank you.
Well, we are just so, so excited because we want everyone to save the date, January 17th and 18th, because you're coming to Atlanta. Yes.
Yes.
I said that, January 17th and 18th. If you live here locally in Atlanta, you're going to join us at the Doubletree Hilton at Northlake. And if you're from out of town, you're going to be flying into Atlanta for a wonderful, wonderful symposium. The name of the symposium is Aspire to Behold. Learn how to vision map the life you desire. Wow. We're going to have wonderful,
awesome,
inspirational speakers. We have some wonderful, wonderful people we want you to meet, network with. We're going to have 2 days of education, fun, inspiration, prayer. We're going to celebrate one another, and then we're going to send everyone off to enjoy the rest of the Martin Luther King weekend. If you want to extend your stay, you can, so you can be here to celebrate the MLK holiday through Monday, or the hotel rates will be available at the reduced rate. Now, to get more information, we want you to check our website, which is www.atlantaliferadio.com, for further details, and tickets go on sale shortly. So you don't want to miss it. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you, Mel D. And now we're getting ready to start the heart of the, jump into the heart of the show. And earlier I actually mentioned that it was interesting how I met our special guest for tonight. And I just want to kind of tell you about that real quickly before I introduce her into bring her on to the show. One day I was out and about running errands, and I was leaving a area mall, and I happened to be passing by Barnes & Noble, and I kind of toyed with the idea of stopping in to look for something for Amani, who had a school project that she was working on. And I almost didn't stop, but somehow my car kind of took on a life of its own, so to speak, and I would like to say that God was driving it at that point, because I did end up pulling into the parking lot of the Barnes & Noble. And out the corner of my eye, I saw a woman outside of the store, and looked like she had some books in her hand. And you know how we get when we're in a hurry, you know, I don't have time to stop. I hope she doesn't stop me, you know. And I'm going to be very honest. That's exactly what I was thinking. I'm all, you know. So I went in the store, and I came out, and she approached me in such a respectful way that I couldn't help but stop. And as soon as we started conversating, one thing led to another. And when she started to share her story with me and telling me about the books that she had written, I couldn't help but connect to her for, number one, for the first, the mere fact that she had a rich working history with the Tuskegee Airmen. And through that relationship, she's written a book titled First Top Gun. So, of course, me being an alumna of Tuskegee University, I was immediately joined into the conversation. So, long story short, I shared with her about There's Life After Layoff Radio and about my blog and everything, and I told her that I knew that she had to come on as a guest on our show. And she, at that point, she mentioned to me that November was Aviation History Month. So I said, what better time? And, you know, that's God's timing, and his timing is always perfect. So right now I'm going to share with you a little bit about who our special guest is, and then I'll welcome her to the show. Zelie Rainey Orr is an award-winning poetess, renowned researcher, historian, consultant, and author who is the mother of two daughters, Kai and Nia, and they reside here in Atlanta, Georgia. She has been a barrier breaker for most of her life. Zelie was one of five black students to desegregate Indianola High School in Indianola, Mississippi, back in 1967. And she was also the first black personal lines underwriter for Kemper Insurance Company. She was also the first black female personal lines underwriter for Commercial Union Insurance, and also the first female elected president of the Atlanta chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated, okay? And it was her love for writing. It actually started way back in elementary school and continued through high school and then led her to a pursuit of a Bachelor of Arts degree in journalism. And she studied at the Los Angeles City College and San Fernando Valley State College and at corporate institutes in Long Grove, Illinois, and Boston, Massachusetts. She's won many, many awards for her writings as well as many accolades such as, just to name a couple, National Museum of the Tuskegee Airmen awarded her the Distinguished Service Award, and the Tuskegee Airmen Incorporated awarded her the Presidential Award. So that she has a long list of accomplishments that I want her to kind of tell us about. So it is without further ado, and it is indeed my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio author, historian, and researcher, Ms. Zelie Rainey Orr. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Ms. Orr.
Hi, Allie. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. So we're going to, you know, we have a lot that we want to talk about. We want to give you time to kind of share your story with us. So I'm going to jump right in. Now, as I kind of mentioned briefly in your bio, you have an interesting background. You've been a first in many, many areas of your life. Now, can you tell us how you actually came to be one of five students in 1967 to desegregate a white high school in Mississippi? How did that happen?
My parents were active in the civil rights movement. So in 1964, what they had was called Freedom Summer, where kids from the North, especially white students, came to Mississippi to help register blacks to vote. My parents were very active in the movement. So with schools, of course, being still segregated, by 1966, they had filed a civil action suit to try and get blacks into the white schools. Mm. That would happen in 1967, and I was one of those five that actually, wow, because of the civil rights suit or the lawsuit, that mm-hmm. got into the school.
Wow, wow. And that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Wow, Ms. Orr, and this is Doc. That is so interesting. Were you going to add something to that? I'm sorry.
I do want to add that perhaps, too, for us, those that went, the five of us, we went midterm. Most people who integrated the school would start when school started, mm-hmm. but we did not get to go until February of that year.
Wow.
And we were only there from February until May. When the school's term would start that following September, mm-hmm. we received notice that we were in the wrong district.
Oh,
so
my,
we didn't push
God.
It again, but we went for 3 months there, really.
Wow. And, wow, you know, it's funny, Doc, you know, if you recall, when we were celebrating Black History Month, we actually talked about the Little Rock Nine.
Exactly.
And all of what they faced. Did you have to face similar circumstances that they were facing at, in integrating the school in Little Rock?
No, when we got to school that day, there were no one was outside protesting. Mm. I think the hardest for us was in going midterm, which meant that we were at the black school from mm-hmm. August. We started school at that time, like in August, end of August, to February. Mm. When we got to the white school, they discarded all the grades. Those grades no longer counted,
oh,
really.
Wow.
That's the sad part of it. So two of us went on to the next grade and three did not.
But those
grades were totally discarded from 6 months of school.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Interesting.
Oof. And so, Ms. Orr, as you integrated into that population, were you met with any oppositions from the white students, or was it a seamless integration? How would you describe?
There was the kids, there was just one class. If a teacher had control, it was much easier in a class.
Okay.
Now, that five of us, three were in 10th grade, and I would only see another black kid, like, during a break. But we didn't all have classes together. One was 9th grade, three 10th grade, and one 11th. So myself, I had an English class where the teacher had no control, and the kids actually in that class kept their seats all to the opposite side of the room. So I sat across from them, always alone. And that's when I realized at age 15, it was the hardest part of my life because I had been kind of popular at the black school.
Okay.
Now all of a sudden I'm isolated and just nobody to talk to. And that kind of stuff. But really it was based on the teachers. A teacher with control, the kids did not talk to me, but at least they would kind of go and just sit in their seats, you know, away from me.
Wow. Do you have an incident where there was a Caucasian student that, against all odds, decided to speak with you and make friends with you? Any experience like that?
In my history class, there was a girl, Jo Cathy, who I would find out later, her family was Jewish. I did not know that before. And she would, in the history class, probably the first 2 or 3 weeks, she would pass by my desk again, even though they did not move their chairs. Nobody sat really right next to me. So there was always kind of a row that was empty of seats. But anyway, she would pass by, and she'd say, you know, just hello. And I feared that had I spoke to her, it was for they were going to be laughing. So I never did say anything back to her. But years later, I found out she was Jewish, and we connected about 25 years later.
Really?
Wow.
And I got to tell her that I really appreciated her trying to at least be friendly, that I thought she was, you know, doing it to tease me.
Wow.
Awesome. And not only have you integrated that school, you have contributed to the naming of streets, building, erecting of historical markers. Can you explain your role in this process as well?
Okay, because in 1964, when we had what they call the Freedom Summer Movement, actually, again, Civil Rights Movement in Mississippi, the street that I lived on in 1964, houses were bombed and burned because we were kind of the Underground Railroad. White students who came in lived on our street with some families. So we were the first in Sunflower County to desegregate. Well, I shouldn't say Sunflower County, in Indianola anyway, to have whites live with us. So as a result of that, four homes were bombed and burned.
And I
made sure I was able to return and get markers for at least two of those dwellings.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Is there a project that you're working on now with that, trying to do?
You know, you're so right about, number one, when God is leading and in something.
Right.
I am actually returning to finish the book. I had started writing that book when I stopped and wrote First Top Guns. And I'm returning to finish that story because it's an absolutely beautiful love story. And I'll just say this. It happens to be that one of the white students who would come to Mississippi, we would meet 30 years later, fall in love, and he was only alive here in Georgia for 6 months and was killed in a car accident.
Oh, my God.
And
he
told me when he came into my life, I was the one to tell the story. I really thought he meant I'll talk about what it was like to integrate a school. He would talk about what it was like to be white, to come from Maine and all of that, to come south. And we would do kind of a combined story. But bottom line is he would be gone. But all of his materials, his papers, his letters that he was writing home to his family, an amazing testimony to what it means to be about just caring and compassionate for equal rights.
Wow. Interesting.
Oh, I can't wait. And you're also a collection of African American memorabilia. Is that correct? Can you tell us about some of the vintage pieces that you've collected?
What I have are, among the things, are coins. Most people don't realize that blacks were on half dollars, actual money that we could go and take and spend. And from about 1946 to 49, there were half dollars of Booker T. Washington and George Washington. And I think they were minted, I was told, to – it was about unity because now World War II had ended. Black and whites, of course, had fought, you know, even though it was still a segregated military. But when they returned home to, again, segregation in this country, some whites remembered the contributions of blacks, like the Tuskegee Airmen who had escorted bombers and saved their life, you know, their lives. So, but anyway, our government, if you Google Booker T. Washington half dollars, you'll see that there are, you know, the 50-cent pieces. And what's also a great thing about it, some of the coins have both Booker T. and George Washington Carver on them. It's not only one in it. It's two men.
Wow, that's interesting.
Another piece of history that we don't seem to really get to know about is that on the $5,000 Series I bond, it's Marian Anderson. But on the $100 Series I, not the Series E, most people buy Series E savings bonds. The Series I. The Series I today has Dr. King. So if you're getting into collecting something to just pass on to Amani or, you know, it's a great way to just kind of collect those. But it's the $100 Series I bond, and you can go to your bank and ask about it.
Okay. Wow. Oh, that's interesting.
Great. And do you have any of these pieces on display for the public to view?
I do take them around, and too bad, Allie, the day I saw you, I had a coin in my purse. I normally carry the half dollar always because, you know, that's one of my pieces, too, that I talk about. But yes, I do.
Wow.
Great.
Wow. Interesting. Wow. Now, you know, I definitely want to talk about your association with the Tuskegee Airmen. I am an alumnae of Tuskegee University, and I when you said to me that you had written a book about the Tuskegee Airmen, my ears just perked up, and I was so excited. Can you please tell us a little bit about your association with the Tuskegee Airmen?
Okay, that started actually in 1999 when I was bringing together a civil rights reunion in Indianola, Mississippi. And a white reporter said to me, this is great what you're doing in having a civil rights reunion, but what about remembering your black pilot killed in combat? I had never heard that. Okay, now, again, I'm from Indianola, Mississippi, a town of about 12,000 people, pretty close-knit little town. But anyway, he knew the guy's name, which was Quitman Walker, but he said, I don't have anything more on him. Bottom line is I was living in Atlanta, well, still living here, had gone to Mississippi, came back, started doing research on Quitman Walker. At that time, there was nothing on the Internet on Quitman Walker. But a gentleman told me there is an Atlanta chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen here. So if he was a black pilot in the war, someone should know him. But anyway, it led me to Colonel Dryden, Chuck Dryden, a Tuskegee Airman from the very second class of the graduates, the black
pilots. The second class?
Second class, yes.
Wow.
There was only three in that class, and Colonel Dryden lived here in Atlanta. When I mentioned Quitman Walker to him, he knew Quitman and said he even had a photo. So that's when my whole journey and connection with the Tuskegee Airmen began. And I found out that Quitman Walker is still buried in Belgium because the family didn't know where he was buried. I decided to locate his, I located his body, got all of his medals and awards that he would have gotten from the military posthumously. And Columbus Air Force Base had an event, invited myself and the chapters, so the Atlanta chapter came, members. And anyway, the medals went to his nephew.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's phenomenal. That is phenomenal. So I know that you, of course, know about the movie Red Tails. What do you think about that movie, and what, you know, what was your involvement in that?
Actually, I enjoyed the movie because the missions that you saw were about true missions, even though it was an action-adventure inspired by the story. It was not the true story, but the missions, mm-hmm. like if they mentioned going to Berlin, that was the longest mission flown during the
right.
war for the Tuskegee
right.
Airmen. So that kind of stuff, if you saw, when you saw them shooting at a ship, that actually happened where they used just machine gun fire and was able to hit something on a ship and cause it to explode. That
mm-hmm.
really happened. But
wow.
my involvement with Lucasfilm, George Lucas decided the movie was not the true story. What he would do is also double victory. When
okay.
you get the Blu-ray disc, there are two DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
It is Red Tails and Double Victory. My name comes up in the credits. What
oh,
I was
wow.
responsible for was helping provide accurate materials as far as saying, here's some photos, this is was from that era. Let's say if they needed something when they were over at Ramatelli in December of 44, to make sure that we were giving them something December of 44 and not something while they were at Tuskegee walking in 1943.
Right, right, right.
So that was my role, I guess you'd call kind of as a content advisor.
Wow, interesting. Doc, do you... I think right at this point in time, let's take a short station break, and then we'll come back to continue this very intriguing and interesting conversation with our special guest tonight, Ms. Zelly Rainey Orr. If you want to call in, I encourage our listeners to please call in and address a question to our guest. And you can reach us at 347-324-5246, and please make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with Ali and Doc and our special guest tonight, author, historian, and researcher, Ms. Zelly Rainey Orr. So please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through.
If you are just joining us, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio presents There Is Life After Layoff. Do you have a layoff story? Are you willing to come onto our show and join the conversation with Ali and Doc? Well, please give us a call. You can call us, well, rather email us at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com, because I like to talk to you to see how we can book you on a show. Again, if you have a layoff story, please join us and come on air. I also want to take a minute to thank all of our sponsors, supporters, and listeners. Without your support, this show would not be possible. If you're interested in advertising or becoming a sponsor, please contact me at mdavis@atlantaliferadio.com. And now, back to our show. Allie?
Thank you, Maldi. We are back, and if you are just joining us, welcome, and you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and along with my regular co-host, Doc, we encourage you to please join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And also on Twitter at AllieWard45, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found tweeting at ALR Radio. So please continue to follow us. And as I said before the break, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation or if you just want to ask a question of our guests, you can reach us at 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. So now we are back with Your Voice, Your Story episode and our special guest, author, historian, and researcher, Ms. Zelly Rainey Orr. So we're going to continue with this interesting conversation. You are a walking encyclopedia, Ms. Orr.
And I am loving it. I am loving it. Ms. Orr,
all
you
credit.
Mentioned... I'm sorry, you said Ms.
I'm just
going
to say all credit goes to God. It is certainly
yes.
not me. I am just a vessel that he is using, and I just ask him to keep using me.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. You mentioned your book, First Top Guns. Can you talk a little bit about that book and what inspired you to write it?
When we were at Columbus Air Force Base and presenting those medals to Quitman Walker's family, mm-hmm. is that one of the airmen there, of course, like I said, the Tuskegee airmen from different chapters were invited. One airman lived there. His name was Alva Temple in Columbus, Mississippi, and Alva told me about how they were the first Top Gun. And, of course, I'm like, first mm-hmm. Top Gun? That was the Navy, you know, Tom Cruise. And he's like,
right.
In reality, first Top Gun is we won the first ever gunnery competition the Air Force
yeah.
ever had, he said.
Wow.
And we were shooting at targets for 10 days in the sky and on the ground. And when that meet ended, we won that competition. We had the highest scores.
Wow.
We presented a 3-foot-high trophy. Now, this, mind you, I am talking to him in 2004, and
okay.
he said, but we haven't seen it since. So
what?
Here it is. And, I mean, yeah, I meet him in 2004. They won this trophy in 1949.
Oh, my goodness.
So it had been 55 years.
Mm.
So I decided to look for that trophy, and I was able to find it.
It
was both secured storage at the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. They advertised themselves as being the largest Air Force museum in the world, but told me that they didn't have a place to put the trophy.
Are you serious? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So my book talks about the journey in getting it out. It did end up coming out about a year later where it's on permanent display at the very museum that it had been in storage for many years.
Mm. Wow. So did you have to fight to get that? I mean, you said that their excuse was that they didn't have room for it. So was there, you know, any kind of legalities behind getting it put on display? Or what did you have to actually go through to get it on display?
Well, actually, I think they realized that my pursuit was if they would not display it, and I was aware they did loan items to other museums.
Okay.
So I was writing to museums like at Columbus Air Force Base. They had mm-hmm. also a display. Can they get the trophy? You know,
mm-hmm.
so you
right,
guys,
right.
if you don't, you know. But anyway, bottom line is that what they decided to do after they got it out of storage, cleaned it up, they decided to display it during Black History Month. That would have been in 2005.
Okay.
And I end up getting an email or actually a call later saying that we're going to leave it up. So that's where they decided.
Whoa.
That's how they did it.
Wow. Interesting.
And the irony of it now is,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. The irony of it now is that they won't even let anyone, they won't let the trophy travel or anything. That the trophy has to be maintained in a climate-controlled environment.
Oh, my
it is
goodness.
Pure silver. So
wow.
now, for 55 years, it has no significance.
Now, right.
You know, nobody can even get it on loan.
Right.
Isn't that
how
amazing?
Interesting.
And Ms. Moore, how long did it take you to complete the book?
To complete the book, I'd say maybe a year and a half because two of the four men, there were four pilots actually that would participate in that competition flying, and two of the four were alive, are still alive, and I wanted to make sure in their lifetime, unfortunately at the time, three were alive, but Alva Temple, the very gentleman who told me about this trophy,
okay.
the day I found the trophy on a Friday afternoon,
oh,
here it is. I called his house on that Sunday,
okay.
and I was told he died on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness.
Just one day in between my calling. But I believe that it was his spirit that really catapulted everything, including this book being written. So.
Wow, that's so interesting. Oh, my goodness.
I bet you have many stories such as that because it sounds like he stayed around just to get that story told, and then afterwards it was, my mission is complete.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I tell people, I think for me is that once I decided to say thank you for a soldier who made the ultimate sacrifice,
right.
is as if God says, I was just waiting for you to do that because now I've got many more projects. And that seems to be really how my life is. It's just project upon project upon project. And I know it's God because in telling you that trophy had been missing for 55 years,
right.
it took me 5 days to find it.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
Really,
amazing.
So I know it was really God. And I say that with total humility in saying five days because there was one of the airmen who's still alive, Harry Stewart,
okay.
one of the Top Gun pilots, said he was stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was stationed right there, never saw the trophy because it was in storage.
Mm.
Had
wow.
no idea that he was, you know, right where it was.
Oh, my goodness. That's interesting. Oh, my goodness. But how many books have you actually authored? Can you tell us a little bit about some of them?
Only two that I can say I am totally the author of,
okay.
but I have contributed to about four, which includes a Georgia history book. It's entitled Georgia, A History of Change and Progress. There are two pages in there on the airmen, and my name comes up in there because I provided the content. There's
okay.
another book. Most of the books that I've so far been involved in are all Tuskegee Airmen. There is also one called The Illustrated History of the Tuskegee Airmen. Great book. Again, they use some of my research in helping do that book. So I've been involved in actually writing two of my own, but now I think you might know that I did do technical documentation,
mm-hmm.
and that book was 500 pages for an accounting system.
Mm. Now, I know with the day that I met you, you actually also had a children's book, and I ended up purchasing a copy, and I got it autographed for my son.
And that is high flying. Sorry, that's
yes.
high flying, and it is a great book because we want to make sure not only were we trying to have adults be made aware
mm-hmm.
of the history of the airmen today, but we wanted young people to understand what they were about and put something on their level that they could comprehend.
Absolutely, yes. Can you, you kind of alluded to Lucasfilm earlier. Have you worked with them on anything else, and can you just tell us a little bit about your work with Lucasfilm?
With Lucasfilm, because of my research, someone mm-hmm. gave them my name. They
mm-hmm.
were already, of course, preparing the movie for release and things like that, not
mm-hmm.
yet ready to say, you know, it's a go, when I got a call. And, you know, when you see really something that pops up and somebody tells you they're Lucasfilm calling, so
right.
I tell them it wasn't George Lucas. but they said, you know, they had been given my name and they had a project they wanted to see if I had an interest in working on.
Okay.
And, of course, I said yes. So my name, because of the research that I do, got to them. Also,
wow.
I already had something that was on the History Channel. I had worked
oh.
with another group that did, it's called Aviation Dogfights. It's
okay.
the only dogfight of the Tuskegee Airmen. If you see that come up, you'll see my name come up in the credits on that, too. So, but that's how I got involved with Lucasfilm, from a referral. I have not worked with them since. I am hoping
okay.
that they will pick up First Top Guns
mm-hmm.
and do a documentary on it, because it's a fantastic piece of history to find that these men who are flying the older planes during that competition were not
mm-hmm.
expected to win.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they mm-hmm. win, they had the highest score of all the teams.
Wow, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Which means that's the reason why it was put in storage.
right. Makes sense.
I'm modest, Sarah. Look, I'm kind of modest. I'll let people do their own interpretation, but yeah.
Yeah, we just got to kind of, you know, call a thing a thing. And, you know, we have to really, during those times, they didn't want to give credit where credit was due. And so, you know. I'm very familiar with the story of Tuskegee Airmen, so of course you can't conclude anything other than that. But oh well.
Could I share another piece of the Tuskegee Airmen history, since you're from Tuskegee? You had also the first person ever on active duty to win a gold medal was a Tuskegee Airman, and
oh.
that was Mel Whitfield, who is the father of Frederica Whitfield on CNN.
Oh, wow.
So when he was on active duty at Loughborne, he would, of course, be performing his duties, you know, as a veteran or soldier during the day. But in the afternoon, when he was off, he would run track.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, some whites realized that this guy is good. So they end up getting permission from General Davis to let him participate in the Olympics. So, you
oh,
know,
wow.
anyway. Yeah, and he won the first ever gold medal that anyone on active duty had won at that time.
I've never heard that story.
Yeah, and it's in a matter of fact, in my book, you'll see there he is, and Frederica's in the book, and in High Flying for Kids,
mm-hmm.
We also have a drawing of him because we wanted kids to see that too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So if you Google Mal, his name is Malvin, M-A-L-V-I-N Whitfield, then
okay.
you'll see, and it'll talk about him as the role he played as an airman.
Awesome. I am sitting here in awe. Ms. Orr, I think you alluded to it, but I want to ask, do you feel like your life purpose is that you were sent here as a vessel to tell the lost stories of African Americans?
I do. I think now I really see that because it's so many pieces, and it's just, yes, it's like I'm like a magnet for the history. And I say this, too, is that it seems like God has given me a gift to understand where that piece fits in.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Does your daughters carry on research and the vision that you have as well, or have they branched off to other endeavors?
My oldest majored in fashion design. She graduated from SCAD, and she was just totally fashion, but she's a great poet. Matter of fact, when she was in 10th grade, she won for Cobb County's poetry writing.
Oh, wow.
Above in our county. So she has that gift. She's still young, so hopefully she will come to understand that and it will manifest. My younger is, my husband was always, who's deceased, my husband was an entrepreneurial kind of person, and my youngest is always trying to venture out and do some on her own. So neither one is right now doing anything about research or really writing, but there is something I know that's in them, and hopefully it'll come to fruition.
I want to ask you, what got you interested in history? I mean, what was that one thing that wanted you to just research and become a historian in the first place? What was that?
You know, I lived in California for 10 years and moved to Georgia. But anyway, in 1986, I moved back to Mississippi. I bought a nightclub.
And oh, really?
I had, of course, yes. And I bought the nightclub really with the intention of this 5,000-square-foot building becoming a skating rink.
Okay.
Because the floor was concrete or whatever. But anyway, short story is, I realized I didn't see positive artwork. And I had been collecting art out in California. And so I decided to start going to schools. And twice a week I was just sharing for those 4 years the artwork and talking about, you know, how I acquired it and who the artists were. And as a result of that, stories started coming together about, you know, different other little pieces about our history. But it actually started with me going back to Mississippi to share our history through positive images.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. Very interesting. As we move forward, you heard me kind of talk about my daughter, and you know, I'm very, very much involved in their education and you know, making them responsible people. What would you say is one of the major challenges with our youth today? I mean, we've got all this technology and the social media. What would you think is one of the major problems? And there are not a lot of youth who are, you know, interested in writing or what have you, you know, and what would you think is our biggest challenge with our youth?
Well, is understanding that if something is worthwhile, it is about, it takes time. It's not about the instant gratification, because instant gratification comes and it goes, you know, quickly. But if they can only learn just from nature itself that it's about, it takes time to become the best, which means also applying yourself, you know, and it is so important for them really to read. And in reading, there is something about all of this in the brain, you know, in using our own brain, not just using
a
computer. That's great. But there is a reason that we have these organs and these facilities, I mean, these faculties in our bodies. They are for a reason. And we get caught up in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're human.
Absolutely.
But if you can keep them focused, and I do, again, I have two daughters, mm-hmm. and just trying to keep them focused is not easy. But hopefully
exactly.
they will, you know. But through much prayer and just trying to teach them. But again, to me, I try and tell our kids that it is so important to understand that something in instant gratification is not what always brings you the happiness. That's not where it lies.
Mm,
it's an appreciation, appreciating time. We, you know, you must try and develop to your best through time.
Wow, that is great. That is great. And is there any other parting words that you would like to leave with our listening audience that we didn't cover tonight, Ms. Orr?
Can I say that to me, what does the Tuskegee Airmen exemplify?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I call it pretty much the three Ps, that they mm-hmm. were about preparation,
okay.
and that was through getting an education or training.
Okay.
And they were about perseverance, that mm-hmm. even when there were obstacles and people said that they could not achieve, they continued.
Right.
And in the end, it was pride, because
mm-hmm.
from the preparation and the perseverance, then they realized they achieved because they had some excellence as a result of that. And that's the kind of pride that's lasting. And that's
right.
why we remember them today.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because you talked about, you touched on about two or three of our programs in that one
right.
statement. we had a program where we talked about, you know, perseverance and not giving up, and we talked about walking in with the spirit of excellence. And, you know, no matter what job you held, if it was a custodian or a cook or a maid, not demeaning those careers in any way, but you still, you know, carried those jobs out with the spirit of excellence. You know, we talked about all of that here because people – we have gotten to a point where they have lost sight of their purpose. They've lost sight of who they actually are. And, you know, this show, of course, is There's Life After Layoff. And for many years, you know, my position was who I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't until a point where God finally turned on a light bulb and said, you know, that's not you and this is not your purpose. Did I, you know, figure it all out? But it took me getting laid off. You know, he moved that. I'm thankful because he moved that obstacle out of my way. So, you know, you're absolutely right in that statement, and thank you for making it. How can people contact you or even purchase your books if they want to do that?
They can go to my website, and it is, of course, www.first. And that's spelled out FIRST,
mm-hmm.
top, TOP, guns, GNS.com. So firsttopguns.com. You can
okay.
go to my site and order a book or contact me via that.
Okay. And, Doc, as a researcher, do you have any anything that you want to address to our guests? Because I know this is right up your alley. I know you are just in heaven.
Exactly. I'm sitting here just amazed. I just think about Dr. C.T. Vivian and now
yes.
Mrs. Orr, and just amazed. I don't know if Allie shared with you. Earlier this year, we had an opportunity to sit and meet and interview Dr. Vivian, and you're adding to just that knowledge, and I thank you. I thank you so much. And when you talk about being that vessel, I'm just so appreciative to people that really take that time to, against all odds, stand out and stand up to be a voice for African Americans, because if it wasn't for you, you know, we wouldn't have a voice. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for even
Absolutely.
Sharing your story and the time with us.
Oh, you are most welcome. And I am just humbled and honored that you would even take the time. Allie, really, for just following through, and you are a woman of your word, such a beautiful spirit. And I just feel that even in your show, that's what's coming through. So I know you're a blessing out there. So thank you, Ed, that, again, that we met. And hopefully
yes.
that we can do some things together in the future.
Absolutely. You are welcome back here anytime. And, you know, I have to be honest and say that, you know, I went into that bookstore with the wrong mindset, but I came out with a heart that was open. God kind of worked that out from the time I walked in and walked out. And, you know, we have to, you know, understand and know, don't be in such a rush. Because, you know, I heard something earlier this week in my time, you know, studying the Word. Don't be in such a rush to get things that you run right past your blessings. And, you know, if I had continued to rush that day, I would have run past the blessing. And so I am so honored that, you know, I had enough sense to slow down for a minute and not be so caught up into what I had to do to see someone else and recognize your spirit. And as I mentioned, I'm so serious about how she approached me. It was just so respectful, and so there was just a calmness in her spirit that just kind of drew me to her. And I know nothing happens by chance. You know, God gives us what we need when we need it. And I think you can will recall, Doc, that after I met her and had that conversation with her, I was so excited. I couldn't wait to call you because at first,
right.
You know, because you being the – you may even recall that conversation. I was just jumping out of my skin. I was like, oh, my God, do you know who I just met? I was so excited, and it was just like – but I had to check myself because, you know, I had to repent and ask God to forgive me for the attitude that I had as I was going in. But, you know, and that just put me in remembrance that he said, you know what, you got to recognize everything. You got to be aware of your surroundings and the people that I'm bringing into your path and not have the bad attitude. Because had I had a terrible attitude, had that continued, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight.
Right.
You know, having this conversation. So people, you know, you got to be aware of people that come in and out of your life, and God's timing is always perfect. So at this time, I thank you so much on behalf of There's Life After Layoff Radio and the entire Atlanta Life Radio team for joining us tonight, Ms. Ellie Rainey Orr. Thank you for sharing your history, your journey. You know, this is a journey that we're on as well, and we thank you. And we are definitely looking forward. When you finish that love story, you got to come back on.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. I look forward to doing that. And I just want to say again, Allie, Doc, and Mel D, what a blessing you are. Uh-huh. And may you keep being a bright, shining star. That's all that God asks us to be. And if you let him lead, it will be the brightest ever. Thank you. Uh-huh.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much. Now, Doc, I know we generally kind of have you sum up some things. Do you have any parting words that you want to share?
I'm sorry, Allie. It's so funny, and I was going to share with Ms. Orr, we generally end with our solutions, and I think you gave the best solution for the night, and that is don't be in such a rush that you miss your blessing. So if I had anything to sum up, I would definitely say that that is our solution, and the growth work is to slow down and catch
Absolutely.
Your blessing.
Absolutely. And as well, go and, you know, last week I kind of challenged our listeners to read that poem, The Terrible Things by Eve Bunting.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, tonight I challenge you all to go get Ms. Orr's book, The First Top Go.
Good. That's good.
Thank you.
And we need to hear back from you. Yeah, when we send out a challenge in the growth work, if you can just email us, let us know how that's going. How are your solutions working, your growth work, and the challenges?
Absolutely.
I would love to.
Absolutely. Yeah. As we get ready to close out another program, I want to take another opportunity to remind all of you, please save the date for January 17th and 18th. And as Mel D mentioned earlier in the show, you will be coming to Atlanta. We are hosting our first ever There Is Life After Layoff Atlanta Live Radio Symposium, Aspiring to Be Whole, Vision Map the Life That You Desire. Please, you want to join us. You want to get in on this opportunity. There will be networking opportunities. There will be a lot of great resourceful information for you, for those people who are just trying to discover what their life's purpose is, please take advantage of this opportunity. It will be very affordable for you. But join. We want to meet you. We want to meet you. There'll be a lot of exciting things going on, a lot of people who will be sharing a lot of helpful information for you, helping you to put on paper. A lot of times we have these ideas in our head. Now, just as an example, the blog that I was given a vision, and I give all honor and glory to God for the vision, but had I not followed through, we wouldn't be sitting here, you know, on the radio tonight. I shared it with a couple of key people such as Doc and Mel D who helped to hold me accountable. So even if it just starts with you sharing your vision with someone who you know is going to make you accountable, do that. Because then I felt compelled to follow through, put up a shut up is what I felt. So, you know, that you've got to know who those key people are. So please, save the date. We want to see you. We want to meet you. And it will bless you. And we love to put on these kind of activities for you because we are, you know, we're trying to reach you. We're not just sitting here talking about it. We want to be about it. So save the date, January 17th and 18th, and we look forward to seeing you. So we remind you that if you like what you hear, please visit our website and listen to all of our past recordings of past shows. Post a comment. If you're on Facebook, please friend us at Atlanta Life Radio. And continue to also follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And mark your calendar to tune in for the next men's series, which is scheduled to air on November 19th with our very own Brother Paz, Dwayne Johnson, Sr. of Lifestyle Christian Church. And so as we get ready to close out another episode of There's Life After Layoff, until next week, on behalf of myself, Ali, and my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, also known as Doc, and of course our executive producer, Mel D, we thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready what God has for you. Tell yourself, no,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look. That's when your breakthrough will begin.
Your life is not
new. Now
Testimony, testimony.